the topic of the shiur today is Suras Purim, a reason and impact. And I find, there are many things to say about Purim, but I find when it comes to Purim, there's a lot of confusion. What do you mean a lot of confusion? So, there are people who feel, okay, that Purim is the holiest day of the year. Why do they feel that way? Because of the famous Arizal, which I don't understand, because Arizal obviously dealt with Kabbalah, and it has to be explained, but Purim, we have Yom Kippurim, which we know is a very holy day, and we have Purim. And therefore, says that Yom Kippur is Yom Kippurim, which means even Yom Kippur is like Purim. Okay, it's like Purim. So therefore, obviously, what it means is that a person reached the highest level, even when he's immersed in the world of Gashmis, physicality, that's what it means. However, on the other hand, we know that according to the Kedusha of the day, that's how we assign how many Aliyahs you receive. For that reason, the day that's highest in Kedusha is Shabbat, and for that reason, in Shabbat, there are 7 Aliyahs. And then after Shabbat comes Yom Kippur, 6 Aliyot, Chag is 5, Chol HaMoed and Rosh Chodesh are 4 Aliyos, and Purim is like a regular day, because Purim does not have Kedushas Hayom. Now, someone will say to me, how can you say such a thing? There's no Kedushas Hayom to Purim. See, even though I just explained based on Aliyot, I would, and also argue, I would quote for you Tiferes Yisrael, which I'll come back and explain what he means at the end of this year. Tiferes Yisrael is written by the Maral, Parakeh, chapter 5 of Tiferes Yisrael. And there, Tiferes Yisrael is speaking about what mitzvahs accomplish. And Tiferes Yisrael quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. And this Gemara, I'm just looking at the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, basically says that when Rabbi Yossi ben Kisra became sick, so Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan went to visit him. So Rabbi Hananya ben Trajan said to him, listen, what's going to be, here's another Daf Makor if you want, what is going to be with me in Olam Haba? So Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma said to him, he says, did you ever do an action that you felt that you were proud of, you had a challenge? And he responded and he said, yes, one time the money of Purim was given to me, Matanos Levyonim, and it was, he says, and what happened was it got, he said, Moshe Purim is chavli, Moshe Tztaka. Money of Moshe Purim, sorry, got mixed up with Moshe Tztaka. The money I was in use for Purim, not Moshe Tztaka, but Moshe Tztaka. And I didn't know what to do, and I gave all the money to Aniyim, to poor people. So the Maral explains that what he did was that the Moshe Purim represented physicality, because that's what Purim is about. And he traded his physicality, his immersion in physicality, for Moshe Tztaka, who represents spirituality, and for that reason, so when Yosef Akisma heard that, he was very impressed. They were willing to give up the world of physicality for the world of spirituality of giving Tztaka. And at that point, the Maral says, how does he explain it? He says, because why is Moshe Purim, money of Purim, the world of physicality? So the Maral says, because on Purim, he says, and I want to quote him verbatim, he says that the Purim, his words are that ein bo kedusha klal. He says he says ve'ilu haya yom zeh. He says ki ma'os shal Purim einam omdim. The money of Purim is only there for achil v'shtia, and if it was a day that had bo kedusha, so then it wouldn't be something which is total physical. He's the Maral says, "Alba ein v'yom zek kedusha klal." On this day of Purim, the Maral said, "There's no kedusha." V'achila v'ashtia hu dover gashmi min olam hazeh. And the achila and the shtia, the drinking and the eating, is something very physical. So I'd like to come back at the end, maybe, and explain this idea that the Maral is so strong, and why we have to, emphasize this idea that Purim is a day of Ein Bo Kedusha Klal. How does it fit into the message of Purim? So now, in order to come to that, I'd like to explain a few of the Gemaras and a few of the Rishonim. So if you look at source number one is a Shiltas Rav Achoy Gon. Shiltas Rav Achoy Gon was the first Sefer written after the Zman Gemara. He was written by one of the Gaonim. Let me say that he wrote this for his son, but for other people also. And he wrote a few halachic pieces on every parasha. at the end of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Vayakel, so he wrote a piece about Purim. If you look at source number one, it's in Aramaic, Shilta de Mechayvi Beis Yisrael, Lemechal v'lemishte v'puria, that Beis Yisrael, the Jews have to eat and drink on Purim, v'uduvuye v'shavuche kavim shmaya, and you have to give hodah, thanks, and praise, takarish baruch hu, to God, al kol nisa da'avid, for all the miracles that he does. He says, why? As the Torah said, the Megillah says, l'asos on yom mishnah v'simcha, the day of mishnah v'simcha. And then he goes, so fine, this we all know from the Megillah. And then the morale points out, but adif yom de puria, the day of Purim, is as great ki yom shenitna bo Torah. It's as great as the day the Torah was given. It's as great as Shavuos. Why? How do we know? So he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos. I'm sorry, in Pesachim, which we'll get to in a minute. Ki ha de marvareder avina, havi yosef v'tenisa, marvareder avina would sit and fast, kula shata, the whole year. He would only eat and drink at night. Levar, min tre yom edatzarta, except for the 2 days of Shavuos. Marvareder avina lived in Chutzlaret, so he kept 2 days of Shavuos. Yom shenibbo Torah, ulevar min tre yom edatzarta, mishum nisa. And besides the 2 days of Purim, because of the Nes. So therefore, I would just point out, we'll have to explain this, that the Shiltas Rav Achoy Gaon is saying, number one, that Purim is like Shavuos Matan Torah. We'll have to explain that. Then he also emphasized the fact that not just 1 day of Purim, but 2 days of Purim. In other words, according to Rav Achoy Gaon, I don't have to say we have to go overboard, but this coming, well, I'm living in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no Yerushalayim here. So I keep Purim on Tuesday. So even though I keep Purim on Tuesday, I have to have a suda on Wednesday morning also, or Wednesday afternoon, because it's 2 days of Purim. That's the Treyon of Purim. Those living in Yerushalayim should have a suda on Tuesday. It's 2 days. So I understand why 2 days. And then also, he says, Mishum Nisa, because of the miracle. Because of the miracle. Not because of the Matan Torah, even though that's what he pointed out. But he says, because of the miracle. See, even though Purim is special because of Matan Torah, it's like Matan Torah, the Torah is given, but what pushes us to look at Purim that way is because of the miracle. So we have to understand those 3 points. Why 2 days of Purim? Why is it that it's like Matan Torah? And what is the significance of the miracle that makes Purim like Matan Torah? Now, besides the fact that we have to understand why the miracle is so significant, Rav Achoy Gaon in his Shiltas deviates a bit from what the Gemara says. So if you look at source number 2, there the Gemara is discussing the halacha of Yontif, of how a person celebrate Yontif. And there was a machlokas among Chazal, what's the best way to celebrate Yontif? Why? Because the Yontif is referred to in the Torah either as Atzeres Lashem, a day of holding back for God, or Atzeres Lachem, a day of holding back for you. And those two psukim, as similar as they sound, are very different. They are contradictory. Because a day for God means, hey, I can eat a little bit, but I have to spend my day in the shul, learning, davening. That's Atzeres Lachem. Atzeres Lachem means, yes, I should daven a little bit, but I should spend my day at home, eating and drinking, enjoying, sitting with the family, schmoozing over food and wine and all sorts of sweets. So how do we resolve the contradiction? So the Gemara has a machlokes. Some say you have a choice, depending who you are. There are certain people that their real oneg, their enjoyment of Chag would be to spend most of the day in the Beis Medrash. They spend most of the day in the Beis Medrash. And there are some who say that the enjoyment of Chag is spending most of the day in the dining room, so they should daven, maybe hear a little shir, and spend the rest of the day partying, enjoying Yom Tov. We Paskin, they're actually supposed to do both. You're supposed to spend half the day in shul, and half the day enjoying the family, enjoying the meal, celebrating Yom Tov. And the Rambam goes through a whole seder how you should do it. You should daven nates early in the morning, daven, break for a little kiddush, you know, after Musaf, and then learn till Mincha, daven Mincha, spend the rest of the day. Okay, but you're supposed to do both. So the Gemara continues and says, so Amar Rav Yosef, source number 2, the Gemara Masechta Samaches Amud Beis, Hakol Modim Devapurim Nami Binu Lachem, everyone agrees that on Purim, you have to spend time celebrating in the dining room, eating, enjoying. My time, and what's the reason? Because you may mishra v'simcha k'sive. It says you may mishra v'simcha. Megillah says there has to be days of partying and happiness, so you can't fulfill that in the Beis Medrash. Mar v'rei Ravina, this is what the Shultz quoted, kula shah to have a yosef v'tanisa. Mar v'rei Ravina, he would spend the whole day fasting. Levar, the whole year fasting, at the day, and he would break his fast every night. Levar me'etzarta, except for Shavuos. Upuria and Purim amal yom v'dikipurei. So again, he's Teres Yom Shin Votorah, Teres Shavuos, you would eat because it's a day of great significance. We got the Torah on that day. Purim, which does not really specify one day, 2 days, you may Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv, because the Mishta V'Simcha. So I would just point out that the Shiltis, when he explained why Purim, we have to have a nice meal, is because of the miracle. And the Gemara says, because you may Mishta V'Simcha, today Mishta V'Simcha. So we have to understand, you know, what the Shiltus is adding to the Gemara. Now, I would just say that this idea that Purim is like a Yom the Torah was given is not the idea of Rabbi Chai Gon alone. Many, many Rishonim quote it. If you look at source number 3, Sefer Lachos Gedolos, one of the Gaonim, he says, he just discusses one day of Purim though, but Adav Yom Purim, Purim is as great, Ki Yom Shin V'Torah, like the day of Torah was given. And you look at the Mordechai, and we'll do the whole Mordechai, it's in Bava Metzia, source number 4, quotes our Gemara, that Marbury Ravina would fast a whole year, except for 2 days of Shavuos, and the 2 days of Purim, and Mordechai also says, because of the miracle. So I'd like to understand, what is the miracle, and what is the significance of the miracle. So just a little clue, if you look at source number 5, now source number 5 is a very famous Gemara. Source number 5, which we'll explain throughout the course of the Shir, talks about the fact when the Jews came to Har Sinai, the Jewish people were given the Torah. And even though it sounds from the Torah like the Jews were asked, do you want the Torah? At that point, what happened was, it sounds from the Gemara, they were forced. It says, Vayitziyatsu v'tachti sahar. Gemara says they sat underneath the mountain. They stood underneath the mountain. Amar Avdimi Barchama Barachasa Melamed Shakadosh Baruch Hu Chavadosh Baruch Hu Aleihem Esahar Kegigis Hakadosh Baruch Hu turned over the mountain like a cot of wine like a barrel of wine. But Amar Lahem, and he said, Imatem Akam LaTorah, if you accept the Torah, Mutal will be good. Then Lav, if not, I'm going to throw this mountain at you and I'll bury you. So we're going to explain what exactly that means. What was the threat exactly? What does that mean that our Kaddish Baruch Hu threatened to take their lives when they take the Torah? What's significant for us though is that he says, the Gemara goes on and says, Mikam Odor Rabbah L'Raisas. Now this is a big complaint against the Torah. Because if our Kaddish Baruch Hu says to me, how come you didn't keep the Torah? Very simple answer. You didn't give me a choice. You forced me. Kaddish Baruch Hu forced us. So the Gemara says, I'm a Rava. That doesn't apply anymore. Why? Because even though we were forced at Mata at Har Sinai to keep the Torah, in the time of Purim, we willingly accepted the Torah. Afal Pikein, Hodr Kiblua, they accepted the Meyach Hashemesh days and days of Achashemerosh. The Chsivit, it says, Kimbulu, Kimu, Vekibul Yehudim, the Jews were fulfilled and accepted. Kimu, they were Makayim. They ratified what they already accepted before, they re-accepted the Torah, so now, we have to give the Torah was accepted again. Why did they accept the Torah in the days of Achashverosh? Rashi points out, again the same idea, Me'abas Tanei Shenasa Lehem, because of the miracle. So now I think we have a hint, which I'll elaborate, that when the Shulta says that Purim is like a day the Torah was given, it's very simple. Why? Because what happened at Purim? At Purim, the Jews re-accepted the Torah. So now we understand why it's like the day the Torah was given. And Rashi says the same thing. And why is it we accept the Torah? Because of the miracle. So, but the Gemara gave a reason, Mishta V'Simcha. Fine. So that we'll have to explain this whole concept of what happened at Matan Torah. Why was it forced? What was different Purim time? Why is it 2 days? Why we have to give the reason of miracle? If the Gemara says we have to enjoy and party because it's a Mishta V'Simcha, well, we'll explain it all. However, before we go there, I want to ask one more question. So the one question is like this: source number 7, and this is one of the Arba Suke Geula. that during the Kriyas Megillah, read the Megillah, so the Tzibur says four psukim out loud, and one of them is Layudim Haisa Arav Asim Chasasim Yikar. So what does it mean? They had light, they had happiness, Sasson, it's Gemara Megillah Daf Tetzayin Mevez, they had joy, he says, and Yakar, something precious, so he says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Ora Zu Torah. What does it mean? They had Ora, they had light, they had Torah. V'cheinu Omer, and it says, Kiner Mitzvah Torah Or. Simcha, he says, they had Simcha, what is Simcha? They had Yontif, they had holidays. V'cheinu Omer, V'samachta V'chagecha. Sasson, Zumila, they were able to do the Mitzvah Mila. Says Kainu Omer Sasnach from Vasecha, the Yakar is Elu Tefillin. So Rishonim asked the question, what does that mean? What does that mean that they went ahead and now they had Torah, now they had Yontif, now they had Sasson, now they had Tefillin, Mila, what does that mean? So Rashi points out in source number 8, Shegazar Alehem, Haman, so they started with Torah. Then Haman was Gozer, should have learned Torah, which meant that until that point they weren't learning Torah. Haman was Gozer, they shouldn't have Bris Mila. Haman was Gozer, decreed that they shouldn't have Yontif. Haman decreed they shouldn't have Tefillin. So, I would ask two questions on this. Question number one is, it sounds like the Jews were walking around without Torah, without Tefillin, without Bris Mila, without Yontif, because Haman made a Gzeira. So first of all, one problem is, that's not mentioned in the Megillah. If you read the story, there's no mention of any mitzvah in the Megillah. Okay, no mention of any mitzvah in the Megillah until the mitzvah of Purim come up. And there's no mention of any gezerah besides to kill the Jews. That's question number one. Question number two is, how long did the gezerah of Haman last? How long did it last for? So we know Esther and Mordechai were concerned about the decree to kill the Jews, but from the Megillah it sounds like within 3 to 4 days, what happened to the Gzeira? It was over. It was over, because as soon as Mordechai heard about it, he went, Esther fasted, and by the time the fast is over, she already had Mordechai Haman killed that night, that day. So it was over. And if you don't like those questions, I'll bring a riot from the Gemara that they did learn Torah even during the Gzeira. If you look at source number 9, when Haman was told to go ahead and to put Mordechai, lead him in the parade. And by the way, the Jews had no idea what was going on at that point in the palace of Achashverosh. As far as they were concerned, there was still a decree against the Jews. Things were as bleak and gloomy, as dark as ever. And what does it say? So Vayikach Haman knew already. He was pulled down. Vayikach Hamas Levush Vesasus. And he went to find Mordechai to lead him in the parade. Gemara says, I've tested him in Aleph. He went and he found the Yashar Ban and Kameh, that the rabbis were sitting and learning before Mordechai. Before Mordechai was teaching the Mashir, and since it was the second day of Pesach, where you had the Korban Omer, he was teaching them Hilchas Kemitza. So he said, Rabbanan, Kevin the Chazim Mordechai, the Afik Lekabli, once Mordechai saw Haman, was there to see him, the Susei Miyacha Biyodei, and the horse in his hand, Mirtas, Mordechai got afraid. So Amal Rabbanan, he said to Rabbanan there, to his students, the Rabbanan, Hai Rishal and Mikdal Nashe Goasi, this Rosh is coming to kill me. Zilami Kamei, run away. The Lord, Tachmu Begachalda, you shouldn't be burnt by his fire. But he shaitas. At that time, Mordechai went ahead, and he put on a talis, and he davened, and Haman waited for him, because Haman knew he couldn't start off at that point. But obviously, Mordechai was not aware yet. See, even though there was still the Gzeira, which Rashi implies that they weren't allowed to learn Torah, we see that Mordechai was giving a shir. So there was learning in Torah. So I'd like to suggest a different possibility of what does it mean, La Yehudim Haisa Ora, that now the Jews had Torah. So in order to understand all these questions, so I would like to take a look at source number 10. Source number 10 is the Emek She'elah. That is the Perush of the Netziv of Talit Tzvi Yehuda Berlin, who was the grandson-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, was the great leader of Volozhin in the late 1800s, and he wrote a commentary on the Shiltas. So I will just explain, I'll paraphrase what he says. So he says, the first question he asks, as I asked, was, why does the Shiltas say it was because of a miracle that they have to keep, we have to celebrate 2 days of Purim, when the Gemara says Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha? That was one question. He says, and so he says, so obviously he says, and the question is also, why 2 days? Why not, why isn't 1 day enough? So the Shiltas, the Siv points out that you really need both reasons. In other words, that Purim is a day of joy, unlimited joy, joy that goes over the top. And it's much different than any other day of the year in that respect. So he says, if the only reason why we have to celebrate Purim is because of the miracle, so what makes Purim different than Chanukah? Chanukah had a miracle also, and yes, we were almost wiped out of Chanukah also. So why should Purim be very different than Chanukah, and Purim is different than Chanukah? That's the question he asks. And then he says, so that's why that Gemara did not mention the reason because of Nath, because of miracle. Because that was not a sufficient reason to explain why we would celebrate Purim in such a way. So why does he add in the words? So fine, so it's not because of miracle. But the other question is, so maybe it's because of Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha. So if it was just Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha, then we'd only have to celebrate 1 day. Because we know the halacha is that when we do the mitzvot hayom, Kriyas Megillah, Matanas Levyonim, and Mishloach Manot, it's 1 day. So, and that's because Mishnah V'Simcha. So if the only reason why we have to keep Purim and to have unlimited joy is because of Mishnah V'Simcha, 1 day would be enough. But since the Shiltas and others hold it's 2 days, we need both the reasons. We need the reason of Nes, because Nes implies that it's both days, and we need to, it's not just, and Mishnah V'Simcha teaches us that the miracle, the celebration is different than Chanukah. That's why we have to have 2 days. Because the Mishnah V'Simcha teaches us that it has to be joy over the top, and the miracle implies, the miracle teaches us that it was both days. It was both days of Purim that we went ahead, and from there we were able to go, that's why we have to celebrate both days. So then he goes on. He says, so what was the miracle? He made Mishnah V'Simcha. Okay, so why, what did the miracle add to it to make us keep 2 days in some respect, to have a meal, a suda, on 2 days? So he explains the miracle caused us to recognize that's what pushed us to re-accept the Torah. In other words, the Mishnah V'Simcha of 1 day, that's because of the miracle that we were saved. That's because of the miracle that Haman wasn't able to wipe us out, and that, you know, Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir, Am Yisrael continued to exist. But the miracle of Matan of Purim, of Matan Torah, miracle of the fact they're able to, the miracle caused us to accept the Torah, and for that reason to keep 2 days. So 1 day, in a manner which is, in a certain sense, over the top, with all the mitzvos, that's because that we're saved from Haman. And the 2 day celebration, that's because we accepted the Torah again. That's what that's the Torah. And that's how, and the Siv explains, that's why the Gemara, the Shiltas mentions another reason. In other words, besides the Yimei Mishnah V'Simcha, he's saying the reason why it's 2 days is because of the miracle, and that miracle, why was the miracle, why is there an extra celebration in addition to the fact that we were saved? We have to celebrate the fact that we re-accepted the Torah. So the question is, what happened on Purim that we re-accepted the Torah? So the Netziv mentions the Medrash in Parshas Noach, and I'll explain that all the Rishonim asked that when the Jewish people were told, you want the Torah, said Nasiv and Nishma, of course we want the Torah, so what does it mean God forced us? And Medrash Tanchuma says that the Jewish people only agreed willingly to accept, to go ahead and to accept the Torah Shebichtav, the written law. What happened? In the world law, they were forced to accept. And all of a sudden, he says, at Purim, they agreed to accept the oral law also. Okay? So, and because that they agreed to accept the oral law, at Purim, because of that was because of the miracle, and because of that, we have to keep 2 days. That's the miracle. So we have Yemishtan Simcha of Purim because we were saved, and the miracle of Purim, this is what causes us to go ahead and to keep 2 days, and to celebrate 2 days, and eat meals on 2 days, according to the Shita, opinion of the Shultz. So, what was the miracle of Purim? Why was the miracle of Purim so different than all the miracles the Jews were able to experience from the time they left Egypt until the time of destruction of the temple? What made the Purim miracle different? So, if you look at the back of the page, and again, I'm not going to do this inside, so you have the Perush of the Gra, source number 13 on the second pasuk of Megillas Esther. And the Gra explains, as is understood, that the miracle of Purim was very different than the miracle of Mitzrayim. Why? Because those who were at Mitzrayim, there was no question that God was involved. God's fingerprint, if I could use those words, was on everything. Because the miracles were against the laws of nature. So there's no one who could say, hey, these miracles did not come from God. However, what happened? The miracles at Purim, they were not about changing the laws of nature. And as a matter of fact, if you go through the whole Megillah, a person could say, hey, it was by chance. As a matter of fact, there's a very good book called The Dawn, which by Yoram Chazoni, where he basically tries to explain how, you know, the maneuverings of Esther and Mordechai. But if it hadn't been for HaKadosh Baruch Hu guiding them, nothing would have worked. Nothing would have worked. So therefore, so what happened? So the Gra gives a mashal about a certain king that had a son. And his son was not acting properly. And the king said, I have to teach him a lesson. He banished him from the palace. But the king was very worried about what would happen to his son when his son was out on his own. He says, so therefore, the king asked his friends, his officers, to his servants, to go and follow his son into the forest and to save his son. But his son should never know who it was that was saving him. And time after time he was saved, and what happened was, and the son thought, that happened by chance. And one time, one of the king's enemies came, right, and tried to kill the son. And at that point, one of the servants of his father saved him. And at that point, he says, the son realized, oh my gosh, how does it happen every single time? Every single time, I'm saved. And he realized that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Similar to that, you know, we always read these stories. Okay, Baruch Hashem, it happens a lot that, you know, our enemies are going to do something to the state of Israel, and they make a mistake. Or they make a mistake in judgment, they make another mistake. Someone once asked me, one of my students, how can we attribute to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and don't say it was a mistake? They make a lot of mistakes, our enemies. And the simple answer is, because one mistake you can attribute to that they're stupid, okay? A second mistake, a third mistake. But there are so many mistakes they make. So there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what happened in Purim time. At Purim time, they were all miracles in nature. But Klal Yisrael realized that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu who's guiding them, right? And because of that, when they went into Golis, and they were living an existence without the Gilui Shechina, they felt confident, and sort of Purim held our hands throughout the generations until we come back to Eretz Yisrael, until we have the Gula Shlema, the complete Gula, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. That's Purim. That's how the Gra explains. That being said, with this idea, I'd like to look at a piece from Rav Kook, source number 14, and put the two together, and then come back and try to answer all the questions. So this piece from Rav Kook, Olas Riyah, something he says in the Shoshanas Yaakov, that wonderful song that we'll sing after Megillah, and Lo Diya Shalkol Kevecha, those who hope in God, Lo Yavosh, not be embarrassed, Lo Yikomu, Lo Netzach, Kol Achosim Bach, and when the last Kodesh Baruch Hu will not be embarrassed. So what happened? So the reason is, so Rav Kook explains that by the fact that on Purim, they went ahead and they reached up to the Torah, all right? And that's what helped us throughout the Galut. Holach v'nimshach, it's from Purim comes, ikur hitkaimu t'Torah b'chol richas ha'golus hazeh. Because of Purim, the Torah was able to last. Right? And he says, why? Because since we were mekabel the Torah b'ratzon, for that reason, it is lasting forever. Kein roi shiyehu nitzchi, so therefore, the Purim should never end, because it's only because of Purim that we were able to last to the Golus, and the Torah was able to last. Because what happened? What happened at Purim? At Purim, the Jewish people realized something. Because the Jewish people, as we know, as Chazal explained, they went to the party, they tried to be Persian, and they shouldn't have gone to the party. But what happened? They went to the party, and they tried to be Persian, and still Haman tried to kill them. and they would have been destroyed. And they realized that we can try to be as Persian as possible, as American as possible, as English as possible, as Canadian as possible, I apologize to anybody else. But the bottom line is that we have to be Jews. And if we think by identifying with the Ummah Sa'olam we'll be safe, that message was given to us in Purim. No, we're always going to be in danger. We're always going to be in danger. Someone said to me yesterday, you know, at least no one's blaming the Jews for the corona. I said, give them time. Just give them time. Give them time. So I'm saying, that's the message of Purim. So how did it happen? How did it really happen? So I believe that you could suggest like this. If we go ahead and we understand what the Gra said, and this really, there's an idea like this in the morale also. What does it mean the Jewish people accepted the Torah, were forced to the Torah at Har Sinai? What does that mean? So, you know, if you understand what Har Sinai was like, it was impossible for us to say no. You came there, you felt the Kedusha, you felt the Shechina, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do you want this? How could someone turn around and say no? He says, what happened? And that's why we were forced. But at Purim, so we didn't have that Kedusha. We didn't have the Gilui Shechina. Maybe we didn't feel it when we learned a piece of Tal Gemara, or we put on tefillin. We didn't realize how special it was. But even so, we said we're going to take the Torah now. So the idea of being forced, not being forced, the idea of being forced means that we didn't want to go ahead and we accepted the Torah, because how could you say no when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was there and you're feeling the Shechina, the Kedusha? It was impossible to say no. And there was a Gilui Shechina throughout the time of the Bayis Rishon. The time of Purim, there was no Gilui Shechina. And at that point, the Jews still had the Torah. Why? Because they realized that without the Torah, we're not continuing to exist. They saw, they tried. They didn't feel the Shechina. They tried to identify with the Persians. And still Haman came to kill them. And they realized the importance of every single mitzvah. Why every single mitzvah? Because every single mitzvah is so important to go ahead and to help us identify as Jews. We need every single mitzvah. That's what happened. That's what happened to Purim. That even about the Gilui Shechina realized. Towards the end of her cook, he says, Ruki kirbas ha'amim hilola ho'il. Coming close to the ground does not help us. Rach Hashem Yisbaruch Hu Shom Yisrael. He says, and therefore they realize now that we desire the Torah even for not feeling what we felt at Har Sinai. Because every single mitzvah is important. Let me explain to you what Purim is about. So, you know, I put on tefillin every single day. I think it's very important. You know, tefillin is a red line. Truth is, I have a lot of red lines, Baruch Hashem. But, you know, there are a lot of people who walk around and say, I have some students actually living in Eretz Yisrael who, tefillin was always a red line. So, you know, I was talking to somebody who says, you know, what was one of the lessons I learned that taught me how important every single mitzvah is? All the lessons I learned. So, when my father had a stroke, he had a stroke on a Sunday evening. And we went to the hospital, and then I went home. Was actually, I'm the youngest in the family, so I think at the age of 19 years old, it was the first time I slept alone in the house. Because I was youngest in the family. When he says, even my parents were out, my siblings were in the house. At that point, everyone living in Chicago was married. My mother stayed in the house with my father that night, and I was alone in the house. I'm a big boy, 19 years old. It's fascinating, because that night, 6 o'clock in the morning, my house got struck by lightning. So, you know, Baruch Hashem was just a big boom, with nothing built. So, you know, I think I learned a lesson. I should never sleep alone in the house. But my mother said to me, come first thing in the morning, obviously need help putting on tefillin because he had a stroke on the side of his body. So I got up early, I drove to the hospital, put on tefillin. The second night, I forgot what exactly happened, but I got there a little bit late. My mother helped my father put on tefillin. My mother never put on tefillin before, but my father told her and she helped him. And then there was another day where I was supposed to get there and nobody was there. And I got to the hospital a little bit late. Father said to me, I did it myself. Now, why am I telling you this story? If you ask anybody who was with my father in the yeshiva, in either place, so to understand how he put tefillin on. So after the stroke, his left hand would shake. Right? And therefore, he had to exercise so much concentration to keep his hand steady. So you put the tefillin on. Right? That afterwards, you'd walk over and you'd see that his shirt was soaked in sweat. So the truth is, when I looked at my father, I see, wow, tefillin. My father looks so holy with tefillin on. That's what I learned. What I learned was that you got to put on tefillin. And that lesson applied to every single mitzvah. Yeah. Is Shabbos an awesome day? Yeah, usually Shabbos is an awesome day. But, you know, sometimes maybe there's something else going on, and maybe you... So we keep Shabbos because it's awesome. We keep Shabbos because we have to keep Shabbos. And why do we go ahead and why do we keep Bris Milah? Because we have to keep Bris Milah. And why do we keep Yom Kippur? Because we have to go ahead and we have to keep Yom Kippur. You know, one of my children showed me a number of years ago about people complaining about Yom Kippur. So I don't mind if people complain about the Arba Tanias, the four fast days. But about Yom Kippur, why? So yeah, Yom Kippur is supposed to be, wow, a special holy day. But we keep Yom Kippur because we have to keep Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur and Shabbos and Tefillin and Mila and Kiddush and Davening and Kriyashma and Limud HaTorah and everything else, that's what keeps the Jewish nation eternal and around and secure. That is the reason for our existence, because of the Torah mitzvahs. The only reason the Jews came back to Israel is because we have Torah mitzvahs. And even without feeling the Kedusha, and by the way, Rav Elbel says, do it, and one day we'll feel the Kedusha, we'll feel the Shechina, we'll feel the uniqueness and the specialness. But that was the lesson he learned at Purim. That even when there's no Gilui Shechina, we have to go ahead. And we have to keep Torah mitzvahs. Because we need it. That's what we learned at Purim. And that's lo dia shoko kovecho lo yevoshu if we do mitzvahs. And I think that that's the pshat. And when it says, la Yehudim hoist the orah simchon yikor and sorsom resem yikor, what do you mean? They didn't have Torah before. They didn't have Mila before. What does that mean? What it means is they didn't appreciate Torah before. Before the Nesa Purim. They didn't appreciate Bris Milah. They didn't appreciate Yom Tov. They didn't appreciate Tefillin. But Purim came around, they realized how important every single mitzvah is. And even at time, you're not feeling it. The Sfas Emes asked the question. According to Chazal, source number 11, how come the Gemara doesn't say, like Yehudim Haisa, Torah, Yom Tov, Milah, the Tefillin? Why these words? So the Sfas Emes says, because it wasn't just that they had these mitzvahs. The Megillah wants to underscore they realized how important these mitzvahs are. Because these mitzvahs are the mitzvahs that ensure the continuity of Klal Yisrael and our own continuity. That's what happened at Purim. Now, just to understand this idea. So if you look at source number 12, we said, according to the Nitziv points this out, they re-accepted the Torah at Purim. What did they re-accept? They re-accepted. As I pointed out, they did it for Simcha, even though they might not have felt the Kedusha at that moment, because it was Hester upon him. God was in a certain sense hidden. He says, the Medrash Tanchuma, we know the Medrash Tanchuma says, they accepted the Torah Shebaal Peh. So let's look at what the Medrash Tanchuma says in Parshas Noach, source number 12. How the Medrash Tanchuma explains Torah Shebaal Peh. So, he says, the Akadosh Baruch Hu made a bris because of these Devarim. The second line is why these Devarim, the Zuhi Torah Shebaal Peh, Shehi Kasha Lilmod. Medrash says it's hard to learn Torah Shebaal Peh. The Yesh Batsar Gadol. And there's a lot of challenge, I would say. Shumashul Lechoshech. Because it's compared to darkness, just to understand what's going on. He says, and Kadosh Baruch Hu has to line up our eyes to see it. He says, and our Kadosh Baruch, the Jews did not accept the Torah until Kadosh Baruch Hu held the mountain over us. He says, and the Medrash Tanchuma explains the Gemara that until we accepted the Torah. So it wasn't a Torah Shebichsav, the Medrash says, he says they accepted that. We wanted to written law. That was about Yegiyah, that was about Tsar. He says, but Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law, that we have to medakdek and careful every single mitzvah. And it's Aza, it's strong as death, and it's as difficult as the grave. He says, because, and only someone who really loves the Kadosh Baruch Hu will actually learn Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral law. He says, why? He says, that's what happened at Purim. We said that even though some things are hard,
we have to go ahead and do it. That's what happened in Purim.
So then, just to answer all the questions, and therefore the Netziv explains, that was the Nes of Purim. Because the Nes of Purim, they saw God's hand. And because they saw God's hand, even though it was hidden, and because of that, they went to appreciate that we have to accept God, and what keeps next to God is the mitzvos. And both days were important. Because both days they saw the hands. They saw what happened in the rest of the world, happened in Shushan. So both days were important. The miracle of both days. And for that reason, we have to celebrate Nimim on both days. It's those both, the miracle of both days. So the Mishnah V'Simcha, it really is what forces us and teaches us to celebrate Purim because we were saved. And the miracle is what basically teaches us and inspires us to keep to eat the meals, to give significance to the day, because that was the day that we went ahead and we re-accepted the Torah, and that's what happened at the and that's how we explained the Shiltis. That's why the Shiltis would go ahead and explain that it's like a day the Torah was given, and that's why the day is so important. And so I think we're coming back to the Maral. I'll finish with one more point. The Maral says Purim is a day of Ein Bo Kedusha Klal. What do you mean Ein Kedusha Klal? Because if a person comes and says, wow, I felt the holiness of Purim, that's good for Yom Kippur. But Purim is a day that says, I have to go ahead and I have to serve Hashem, even if I don't feel it. You know what? Even if I'm not feeling like benching, I have to go ahead and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim that, okay, there's a mitzvah to drink. I gave a shiur on that once. However, the Poskim say if you're going to be over any Aveira because you're drinking, better not to drink. There's halacha, you can't daven drunk. So I said to somebody, you drink, you know what you should do? You should go ahead and take a nap and wake up 11:30 and daven. So someone says to me, no, that halacha doesn't apply for him. For him, you can daven drunk. So I said, show me, where's that halacha? Where does it say that? Where does it say you can daven drunk? It doesn't say that. So everybody, you want to drink? Okay, Shulchan Aruch says, there's certain guidelines. But a lot of people do that. The most crowded minyanim, Purim night, the Mafit Shemesh, or later minyanim, 11 o'clock, 11:15, 11:20. Go do that. He says, because if you're going to go ahead and violate one halacha, you miss the whole idea of Purim. Because the whole idea of Purim is to show that every single mitzvah is important. And I want to suggest one more idea, why this is important. So, there's a very famous Gemara, which I mentioned on the on source number 15, on the Sechah Shuvah of Samach Tesamah Beis. When the Jewish people got back to Eretz Yisrael, after the destruction of the First Temple, after the Babylonian exile, and they began to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, they had a problem, because they were trying to think and figure out, look, we were exiled. Our temple was destroyed because we sinned. What's going to change? How will things be different? Sort of like we're all asking the questions, you know. Everyone's asking before the elections. Okay, we're having third elections. What's going to be different now? All right? It's the same question they ask. What's going to be different? Have we really changed? So they had a three-day fast, and they asked the Kaddish Baruch, and they said, it's all the Yitzhara's fault. And they asked the Kaddish Baruch Hu to go ahead and give over to them the Yetzer Hara. So, he says, what happened? So what they did is, he says, they basically trapped the Yetzer Hara, which is like a lion in a pot, and because of that, they were able to subdue the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, and then they were also able to minimize the effect of the Yetzer Hara for arayos, for incest, for relatives. Okay, they got rid of that problem. So the thing is that really what happened? They davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they got rid of the Yetzer Hara. Is it so simple? And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them this Yetzer Hara, which is a fiery lion, right? And they trapped him in a lead pot. The Navi told them, what really, so therefore he couldn't grab the Kaddish Baruch Hu, what really is happening here? Elijah's Gemara, I was thinking, is that maybe when they came back to the second Beis HaMikdash, they changed what their attitude was. Why should we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because, you know, during the first time, the first Beis HaMikdash, where there was Nevuah, there was prophecy, and we know there really wasn't prophecy during most of the time at the second Beis HaMikdash. But when we talk about prophets, Megdish, it wasn't just that there were 70 prophets. There were many prophets. Alfi Alaf and thousands. Ki Yotzi Mitzrayim. But there was a time when you were a prophet, not the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you felt something. And you did mitzvahs, you wanted to feel something. They came back to Yisrael, they said, the reason why we are going to do this now is because we have to. And when we start thinking that I have to do this because I'm supposed to, and even though I'm not feeling something, but I'm supposed to, that changes the rules of the game. And at that point, we won't be drawn to Avodah Zarah. Why? Because if we're drawn, because Avodah Zarah makes me feel good. So in order to change Am Yisrael, they started teaching the Jewish people, yes, you might actually feel good, you might feel connected. There were a few Nevi'im. There is Ruach HaKodesh. But the reason we keep Torah and Mitzvot is because we're supposed to. That's our mandate. That's what we have to do. That's what we learned on Purim, is that we have to keep Torah and Mitzvot. And that's the message of the Sudas Purim. That according to the Shiltis, we sit down and we say there was another Kabbalah Satorah. And what was that Kabbalah Satorah? We're going to learn Torah Shabbal Peh. Do you know why? Because we have to learn Torah Shabbal Peh. I always have this feeling. I always found that Purim for me is the busiest day of the year. Why? Because you have to read Megillah. In the earlier years, you know, it had to be also that I had to arrange. I had to work out with my wife when she went to Megillah, and then you have to deliver Shalach Manas. Then you have to take all your children to Shalach Manas, and then you have Matanas Lev Yonim, which I'm involved in. Then you have Yeshivas Mordechai. We learn for an hour on Purim, and then you got to set the Sudas Purim up. And like, it's a very, very stressful day. I got to tell you, very stressful. Okay, and I'm a Rabbi Bashul, so I'm supposed to be smiley and friendly to people when they come into the house. And then you sit down to the Sudas Purim, and you make that amotzi. You say, "Wow, I did all those mitzvahs." Okay? And even though it's all mitzvahs that are physical mitzvahs, gashmias, you feel, wow, I feel so good. I did those mitzvahs. That's Purim. You do mitzvahs because you have to. That's the idea. And that's what happened. That's what happened at Purim. And I would say this message, the title of this year, is Sudas Purim, Reason and Impact Upon Us. Because unfortunately we're living at a time, I have to tell you, where this message is not coming through. People feel, said this, I just don't feel it. Okay, why should I go? Why should I go to shul Shabbos morning? I don't feel shul on Shabbos morning. It doesn't talk to me. You know what I'm saying? Or I'll put on tefillin davening. Or I don't want to learn. I don't want to learn this. Or tzitzit doesn't make me feel good. Right? Or shal shudis sudash lishit. We should all work towards the goal that we should feel good about our yadus. We should feel good about everything that we do. There's no question. Realize it's Devar Hashem, and it's all emes, it's all truth. But the primary lesson we have to realize is that we do this because we have to do it. That's the message. And that's what I believe came across in Purim. The Jews realized that because they didn't feel it, but they saw that if they wouldn't keep the mitzvot, and they wouldn't take pride in the mitzvot, and because they wanted to be like the Persians, whoever they were similar to, we were lost as a nation. So Sudas Purim is a day where we focus on what we're supposed to do and all the mitzvot. And keeping that in mind, it's important that we act like Bnei Adam, and in terms of what we do, and we bench and we daven properly, and be mesamech in the fact that we have these mitzvot, know what we have to do, and to realize that when we do it, we're fulfilling the Ratzon HaBorei, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and hopefully that itself will make us feel very good. Mitzvah Hashem, we should all be Zocha to celebrate Purim, and the world and Klal Yisrael should have Yeshua for salvation, and the Mitzvah Hashem, I should be able to shake people's hands next time I come to give a shiur.